الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صوموا عاشوراء وخالفوا اليهود صوموا يوما قبله أو يوما بعده أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء الكرام Brothers and elders, in this dunya, in this world, every one of us is on a journey. And when a person is on a journey, he's on the road, then his eyes are all the time looking at the signboards to make sure that he is on the right road. And he's checking whether he has not deviated of the cause. Everything is in order. And sometimes there are some boards that are giving him some direction to where he can refuel and where he can get his necessities. So these are the things that he looks out for. So like a person in the dunya, in this world, in the journey that we take from one place to another in this world, we are looking out at the signboards. Allah Ta'ala has also provided many signboards for us in our journey to the Akhirat. We are all on this journey, and the very crucial part of this journey is that we don't know at which point we might have to move on from this phase of the journey to the phase where we can't return from, to the phase of the Qabr and then Akhirat, the day of Qiyamah. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala grant us Jannat without having to undergo any difficulty. So Allah Ta'ala has provided many signboards, and among those many signboards are these significant days and nights that come during the course of the year. This is Allah Ta'ala's signboards to us, that in this hustle and bustle of the world, the person is sometimes so busy that he doesn't have time for himself also. But are we looking at the signboards? That where are we heading to? What are we doing? What is our condition? What is the status of our hearts, our spiritual hearts? So Allah Ta'ala brings about several occasions for us, significant occasions, so that we will stop and take note. We will reflect. We will try to do some a'mal to bring ourselves properly back on course. So among those occasions is this very significant occasion of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. So this is significant because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself has explained its significance. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us the virtues of it and explained, for example, in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the fast of the day of Ashura, yukaffiru sanat al-madiya, this compensates for the sins of the year that has passed. Now this is a signboard for us, that have I made istighfar, have I made tawbah, I'm heading somewhere, do I have the provisions for that destination? The person is going for Hajj, but he didn't carry any currency, he didn't carry even his passport, he'll get returned from the airport. The difference here is that this airport still takes you, but then puts a person in a different destination. So now this significant occasion comes that, look, have you taken your currency? Have you removed all the unwanted baggage of sin? Have you made tawbah and istighfar? So here's an opportunity for you to keep one fast, and as we will learn just now, to add one more fast to it, so that this journey of yours can continue without any difficulty. And the stages of the Akhirat, the station of the Qabr, the station of the hereafter can go smoothly. So it's not that this ends off with just that day. But the day of Ashura came, a person kept a fast, and then he carried on with his life like nothing happened. Like unfortunately happens, the month of Ramadan comes, then we get into some kind of consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, and then the day of Eid comes, and it is as if Ramadan wasn't here. Then the month of Zulhijjah comes, and Allah Ta'ala again provides us with those great virtues in the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. So we get into some kind of amal, some kind of action, and then again life carries on like nothing happened. So that's not the purpose. The purpose is that this is supposed to bring us on course and take us forward and enable us to become closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to bring our lives onto that which Allah Ta'ala has commanded, that which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us. So one crucial aspect is to keep ourselves clear of the baggage of sins. This is the occasion when these sins are forgiven. These are the minor sins. But what about the major sins, which a person has to make sincere tawbah for, which requires that firm resolve not to go back to that sin, which requires that a person regrets what he did. Unfortunately, forget regretting what we do, and forget resolving not to do it, we even encourage others to join us in it. That has become the general condition, unfortunately, that we even encourage others, and we will spur on others. And the phrase that is heard all the time, unfortunately, that everything now has become what is wrong with it. Whether it is intermingling of men and women, what is wrong with it? Whether it is music, what is wrong with it? Whether somebody is dressed in a way that totally goes against the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teachings of haya, the teachings of modesty and shame. But everything is what is wrong with it. Allah ta'ala forbid, it must not be too late that on the day of Qiyamah we realize what was really wrong with it. When then it is too late to make any amends. So Allah ta'ala is giving us these opportunities to grab onto and to make those amends. So the one is that this is significant, and this virtue of the day of Ashura is the virtue of fasting. Then in terms of this fast, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was keeping this fast from before, from Makkah Mukarramah. And when he came to Madinah Munawwara, he was informed by the Sahaba that even the Jews are fasting on this day. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam inquired from them, why do you fast? So they replied and said that Musa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam and his people were saved on this day. And Allah Ta'ala destroyed Fir'aun and his people on this same day, the 10th of Muharram. So Musa Alayhi Salam, because he was saved by Allah Ta'ala on this day as a token of thanksgiving, to express his gratitude, he kept a fast. We also do the same. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied and said that نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ وَأَوْلَى بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. We have a closer link to Musa Alayhi Salam than you. Yours is just lip service. We have the real link. And we are more worthy of emulating him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam added this aspect to the fast as well. The fast was from before, but he added this aspect of shukr. So as we go along, the signboard is giving us that reminder that how much of shukr do we have in our lives. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was already fasting, but he added this to it, that yes, we need to be thankful also to Allah Ta'ala for all his favors and ni'mats. So we will now add this into this fast, that out of thanksgiving that Allah Ta'ala saved Musa Alayhi Salam. What about the innumerable bounties that we are blessed with? How much shukr we make for it? At the most, if we make shukr, generally, it is the shukr of the tongue, which is also required, that a person praises Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But that is one facet of shukr. The reality of shukr is then obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Obedience to that benefactor. Obedience to that creator and sustainer who has blessed us with these bounties. So this lesson comes also on this particular day, that alhamdulillah many people do take the initiative, the enthusiasm they have to fast. Together with fasting, we should be having this, or reviving this lesson in our minds and hearts, of how much of shukr do we make to Allah Ta'ala. And then how much of the reality of that shukr is in us. That wealth that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, the shukr of that wealth is that it be spent the way Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. So is it spent in that way? or is it spent in that which Allah Ta'ala is displeased with? That is the height of ingratitude for that wealth. Is it being just splashed in order to make a name for ourselves? Is it being just used here and there and everywhere where Allah Ta'ala's wrath comes? And that is the height of ingratitude. And likewise all the other bounties. So in any case, this is also a lesson to take from this day. Then in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, many muhaddithin have narrated this, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, من وَسَّعَ إِلَىٰ عَلَىٰ عِيَالِهِ يَوْمَ عَاشُرَىٰ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّنَةَ كُلَّهَا أو كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that the person who will be generous upon his family on the day of Ashura, Allah Ta'ala will shower his generosity upon him throughout the year. Now this doesn't require any kind of extravagance, that a person now starts doing things beyond his means. But in the meal of that day, something beyond the norm, something beyond the day-to-day level of what you can provide, something beyond that, a little bit more, that too is part of that generosity, and that too will suffice, inshallah, that a person does within his means what he can, and provides a better meal for his family that day. This too will get him, inshallah, this great benefit, that Allah Ta'ala will shower his generosity upon him throughout the year. So these are some of the lessons that we take. Again, this is a signboard of generosity, that alhamdulillah, as a community, we are known throughout the world to be very generous in all the various causes. But that itself is not sufficient. Generosity doesn't end up with having spent a certain amount and that is it, then we can waste the rest where we want. A person, whatever he spent, alhamdulillah, that's Allah Ta'ala's great ni'mat. Allah Ta'ala gave him the tawfiq to spend something in the cause of deen, for the poor, for the orphans, for the widows, for the destitute, for people throughout the world who are in dire circumstances. But if we really take the time to look, in our own backyards we'll find people going to bed without the meal for the night. In our own backyards we'll find people whose electricity has been cut off because they have nothing to pay for it. And in our own backyards we'll find people who don't have the very bare essentials of life. And with all this right around us, and if we have hundreds of thousands to spend on merely stage deco, merely just to make something a showpiece for a few hours, which will all be torn down and thrown away thereafter, will we be not questioned about this on the day of Qiyamah? And this lesson of generosity and this kind of wastage, no matter what we may have spent, alhamdulillah, we'll get the sawab of that. But this wastage won't save us from the questioning about this on the day of Qiyamah. And this generosity may not also be able to save us if we wasted in this manner in a very blatant way, when people around us are going to bed without having eaten anything for the day. So the signboards are all along the signboard of getting our sins forgiven. That on this journey, we are being reminded that make tawbah, make istighfar, come back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And don't be complacent. This is what the message is coming to us. Don't be complacent. Because there were many communities throughout the world who were living a very, very so-called peaceful life. And overnight things turned upside down. When things went haywire, the root of it often and most of the time, and according to the various ayat of the Quran Sharif and the ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when sins become prevalent, when sins become the norm, then this brings down the wrath of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we should not take things for granted. Allah Ta'ala protect us and safeguard us. Allah Ta'ala protect the entire ummah. But this is a time to make sincere tawbah, istighfar, and come back onto the root. Then with regards to this aspect of Ashura, as we mentioned earlier, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was informed that even the Jews fast on this day. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahaba Ikram, that sumu Ashura wa khaliful Yahud. The first aspect in this is that why did the Sahaba even take the effort to bring this to the attention of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That we realize that the Jews are also fasting on this day. Because this lesson was drummed in them to such a point that they could not even allow the slightest resemblance with the Yahud and Nasara go by. And when they found that the Yahud are also fasting on this day, and they are fasting, they immediately brought it to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the Jews are fasting on this day. Are we not resembling them? Is this something that we should make some adjustment in? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, Sumu Ashura, you continue fasting on the day of Ashura. You are not fasting because of them. You didn't even start fasting because you knew they were fasting. So your fast has got nothing to do with them, in them being a community as such, or their way as such. But despite that, you still make an adjustment to avoid the outer resemblance also. Sumu Ashura wa khaliful Yahud. You still oppose the Jews. You fast one day before or one day after as well. You will be now fasting 2 days. They fast one day. You've broken this outer resemblance also. Now this is the lesson that we have to imbibe on this occasion. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. With the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, many people fast and they fast 2 days. But when fasting those 2 days, are we taking the lesson? That this is the biggest boycott that we have to undertake. Boycotting the way of life of Yahud and Nasara. Boycotting their dressing. Boycotting the way that they hold their functions. That a Muslim's wedding is something totally different. The nikah of a Muslim, inna aadhaman nikahi barakatan aysarahu ma'una. Aw kama qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The nikah wherein the greatest barakat is the nikah wherein the least expense has been incurred. Now where does that fit in with that wedding with hundreds of thousands spent on deco only? That is the style of somebody else. So this is the biggest boycott that we have to undertake. Boycotting the way of life of the Yahud and Nasara. And coming onto the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are living as a minority in this country. And we are obviously day and night interacting with people of other creeds. With the Yahud, with the Nasara, with the Jews, with the Hindus and with anyone and everyone. And in this kind of situation, when a person does not guard his identity, guard his practices, guard his way of life, very, very closely guarded, then it is very, very quick and easy for a person to start slipping into something totally different. And sometimes women would write to ask that, is it even permissible for me to attend this function? Now, a woman is embarrassed about the dressing of other women. She's asking, is it even permissible for me to attend such a wedding? It's my own family. But there's so much of skin bared here and such kind of clothing that I don't know whether I'm in a Muslim wedding or somewhere else. Now where has this come from? And where has the jeans and t-shirt come from that every other daughter and sister is wearing it? Because we didn't guard what Allah Ta'ala has given us, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way of life is. And as a result, everything just slips. And then everything is qualified. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? Indeed, when a person starts getting deeper and deeper into something, then nothing seems wrong to him. It seems perfectly fine with him. Because the whole society starts doing it. And therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at every juncture is emphasizing this. Imagine to a point that a fast that was already being kept before even coming to know that the Jews are fasting. A fast purely for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Sumu Ashura wa Khaliful Yahud. That you continue fasting on Ashura, but wa Khaliful Yahud. Wa Khaliful Yahud. Oppose the way of the Jews. One person was sitting on the roadside and he's crying, he's shedding crocodile tears. So somebody passed by and they asked him, what's happening? Why are you crying so much? So he said, can't you see this dog of mine is here? It's dying out of hunger. So it's dying, it's starving to death. So I'm crying. So then the person saw one basket next to him. So he asked him, what's in this basket? So he said, well, there's bread in there. So he says, well, if you got bread in there and the dog is dying out of hunger, why don't you give it some bread to eat? So he replied and said, you see, these tears of mine, these are free. This bread costs something. So it's easy for me to shed the free tears. So I'll shed the free tears, but don't ask me to give the bread. Unfortunately, that is our condition. That to say many things is free of charge. Anything we can say. We can swear the Jews. We can talk whatever we want about what they are and what they are doing. And indeed, any mu'min is hurt by whatever their injustices are, their zulm is. But to talk about it is free.
But to do something, to oppose their way of life, and not just because we want to, because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has commanded us to. وَخَالِفُ الْيَهُودِ, that boycott their way, boycott their dressing, boycott their manner of functions, boycott their mindset. What is their mindset? What is their heart? Their heart and mindset is dunya is the be all and end all. So no matter who you trample in the way, make sure you make it big. However it comes, it must come. So aata hai aane do. And no matter who cries in the process and who gets hurt in the process, it must come. So that is the mindset of the Jew. Now have we made that our mindset as well? Our objective? That no matter whether that person who has only one slice, we must take that away also to fill our billion. And however it comes, it must come. That the commands of Allah Ta'ala, that will be on the second level. First, whatever comes must come. If that occupation, that business, whatever gives me a chance to perform my salah, I'll perform it. But if that makes me too busy now, it's December, the tills are ringing, then well, later on. We'll make it qaza, and that too I deserve a pat on the back that I made qaza, obviously. And if I don't make qaza, well, that's one of the things also. So that is the mindset of the Yahud. And a mu'min when it's Allahu Akbar, he says, whatever it is, drop everything. The call of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now it is time for salah. A mu'min is a mu'min in the masjid. A mu'min is a mu'min on the streets also. A mu'min is a mu'min when it's the time of his nikah as well. And when there's a death also, he's a mu'min. When he's in business also, he's a mu'min. His tongue is also a believer. He's talking that which is true, which is honest. His eyes are also a believer. He is not looking at what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. And from head to toe, he is subservient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So these occasions come, it comes with these lessons. That we need to bring ourselves practically onto that which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us. And throw away what the Yahud and Nasara have given. Many years ago, there was one billboard, and that billboard stated, say more, speak less. Say more, speak less. Actually, they were advertising one shoe. So the billboard stated, say more, speak less. What it was actually conveying, the message, this is all marketing, obviously, that if you wear this particular shoe, you might not be saying anything with your tongue. You may not be speaking. You're not speaking, but you're saying a lot. You're saying that I'm in style. And I'm just not one of the crowd. I'm one above the crowd. So in other words, without speaking anything, you are making a very big statement. Now the same thing, that is marketing and just to deceive us to buying things. But let us consider that our way of life, we might not be speaking things, but what is it saying? What is it saying about where our allegiance lies? What life are we more happy to adopt? Who are we more closely linked to? Is our heart linked to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Or is the inclination of the heart towards the ways of Yahud and Nasara? Our mouth will be speaking against whoever, but our actions are saying a lot. Our dressing is saying something. Our functions are saying something. Our manner of conducting business is saying something. When we drop everything and run to the masjid, no matter what is the condition, we are saying something. We are saying, I am the servant of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I am the slave of Allah Ta'ala. I am not the slave of dunya. When it is holiday time, then are we in the midst of all those naked crowds? That, well, everybody is on holiday, so I got to be on the beachfront also. That we may not be speaking anything, but we are saying a lot. That, well, I got to be here. Or if there's something carrying on, even in the name of Islam, everything is going haywire, all the intermingling is taking place, and there's music, and whatever else is happening, well, I got to be here. Everybody is here, so why should I get left out? Then, though we are speaking very little maybe in that regard, but our actions are saying a lot. Our dressing is saying a lot. Our manner of conducting business is saying a lot. It is saying something about where our heart lies. And if we want to reach safely through this journey and get to the station where we are going to be embraced inshallah on the day of Qiyamah by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are hopeful to receive that water of Kawthar from his Mubarak hands, then we will have to adopt his Mubarak way. We cannot expect that we are seated on the flight leading to New York and to Tel Aviv, but we want to reach Madina Sharif. We are sitting on the flight heading to New York and Tel Aviv, but we want to reach Madina Sharif. We cannot imagine that to happen. Unfortunately, we'll reach there. So we want to reach Madina Sharif, we will have to adopt the way of Madina Sharif. We'll have to adopt the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to receive that water of Kawthar from his Mubarak hands, and we want to receive his shafaat and intercession on that day, that we will have to follow in his footsteps. In every aspect of life, not just selecting and choosing what suits our fancy and the balance of it, well, this is for somebody else. No, in every aspect of life, we have to imbibe his way of life, bring his sunnah alive, and to make ourselves conscious of this, make our families conscious, that ta'aleem in the homes, speaking about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speaking about the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what qualities Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with, what were his sunnats, one sunnat for 1 week, 1 month, in 12 months we will have 12 sunnats in our lives. Each sunnat is more brighter than the brightest flood lamp of this world, which will bring that noor and barakah in our homes. And speaking about the lives of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, speaking about the greatness of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, obviously. So to bring this consciousness alive, and bring this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of his way of life, and in this way, inshallah, we will then be able to break ourselves out of the shackles. Unfortunately, we have been shackled. That the shackles of the ways of Yahud and Nasara. That a person just says, I just can't do it any other way. That's a shackle. We have to break out of the shackles, and we'll break out of it when we will develop the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Develop the love of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. Develop the love of the Sunnah. And bring these things in our lives, the lives of our families. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of, on the one hand, taking the benefits of these Mubarak days, this fast of Ashura, gaining the reward of the day of fasting on that day, gaining the forgiveness of our sins, and together with that taking these lessons, the lesson of shukr, the lesson of generosity, and the very crucial lesson of wakhaliful yahud, oppose the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.